The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy.
And it's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin Built for Tough McElroy. Another tough week for the 30 under 30 crowd, by the way. I don't know how closely you guys keep tabs on this, but every once in a while, a think piece does get written about how many dang many of us went to jail for fraud and other bad stuff. And it's like, yeah, man, I mean, I barely squeaked on there. I know I say it a lot, but I don't really own that. You know what I mean?
Do you feel bad, Griffin, that you haven't committed fraud or ended up in jail yet? Maybe you haven't squandered your potential enough?
I cannot stress to you enough, Travis, how disruptive to my whole life jail would be.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're called disruptors, Griffin.
Well, they should be called disrupted if they are being the ones imprisoned. But no, I don't regret that. I don't want to do that stuff. I live in fear of the fact that I don't want to accidentally do fraud.
I thought you were just going to stop at the end of I live in fear.
Sure. Yeah.
You're afraid you might accidentally commit fraud?
I'm afraid I might accidentally commit fraud because I don't know what it is.
It's basically you say you're going to do something and then you don't do it. Have you ever done that?
I mean, all the time.
All the time. Griffin, I'm wearing a wire. This has all been... Okay. I'm part of the 40 over 40 that are sent to collect the 30 under 30 and bring them in.
It's kind of like that old, witch's libel and witch's slander thing. It's a conversation I've had so many times that I start to wonder, am I publicly lying about people too much?
Yeah.
Is that too much a fixture of my life that I'm having to figure out? I'm having to remember all the time which crime is which.
Is it too late to add that into our intro to, add it? And, if any of this sounds like libel... It's slander.
Not. It's
Don't
just
worry about
slander.
It.
And I think that's the good one. This is one of those things that I definitely learned in my journalism ethics classes. And now I just think I remember, but I bet you if I did even a cursory Google search, I would realize I don't know either.
I don't remember any of the botany class I took in college, but yours seems more important to your everyday
for
life
this exact
now
moment,
than
yeah.
mine is. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, let's mirror each other because we have so few other support systems in our lives. And I'll let you guys know if it seems like you're starting to do fraud and you guys check me too.
Yeah, cool, man. Because I know it would be disruptive to your life, Griffin, but in many ways it would also be disruptive to my life if you went to prison because I don't think they let you podcast from there.
It would wreck our whole shit, man. Yeah. And God, I hope this clip isn't. I have no intention of committing any kind of major crimes. And I'm saying
that
now.
The more you say it, though.
No, I know it sounds suspicious the more I kind of emphasize it, but this clip is going to be uncomfortable.
Are we on a similar haircut schedule, guys? I'm looking around.
I think we have synced up, yeah. Yeah.
I think we've synced up, guys.
Well, it's that time of the year when a young man's fancy turns to haircuts, you know? Yeah.
I think it's about a week or two before we go to do live shows. It's about
get a haircut. Hey, guys, is this anything? American Pontiff, stay away from JD. Is that anything?
Stay away from JD?
Yeah, JD Vance, he kills popes.
Oh, American Pontiff, stay away from JD. It's something.
It is something.
Because the other one was, he is an American Pope.
No. Lenny Kravitz. Stay on Kravitz. Always bet on Kravitz.
American pontiff.
How bad do you guys wish that Protestants also had, like, a king? How dope would that be? Like, I'm so jealous of my Catholic friends. I have so many Catholic friends, you guys.
All right, we get it.
Because they have like the one guy who's like, it's cool. But on Protestants, it's like, we got like 80 different people.
It must be nice to have a religious king that you can, one, point to justify things, but also to blame things on.
Right. Is Justin leaning out of frame anytime we talk about the Pope for like, it kind of seems like you were afraid there would be a Sinead O'Connor sort of situation. Is it real? Are you that uncomfortable with it, or what do you think is going to happen?
Okay, it's an audio podcast. They're doing hand puppets.
It's an audio podcast. No one can see you're making a hand puppets will work.
No, the truth of the matter is, gentlemen.
Yeah,
I did something to my chair this morning. Fuck. I pulled a lever.
Justin, I thought for sure you were hiding from the bit.
No, I did something to my chair this morning during Besties morning, and I podcast so consecutively.
Yeah.
But I don't have the time to get in here and really figure out. So the problem is, if you review the video footage that has been taken of me today, there are at least four of me leaning back a little bit and then absolutely falling.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a couple minutes of me fiddling with the chair and saying, what fucking lever did I pull that made it so I can't lean back without falling anymore? And guys, that's the truth of the matter. That's where I'm at.
It's not that you're uncomfortable discussing the Pope.
No, I love discussing the Pope. Sydney's actually a little disappointed that I wasn't following it more closely. She texted me like, white smoke. I'm like, oh,
seems
man.
Seems like they cracked it. I don't know a ton about the process.
Yeah.
But it seems like they cracked this one pretty fast, huh?
I think that all the popes looked at America and thought, they have been crushing it.
Yeah, sure.
That is, we have got to get
American leaders are doing it right.
We got to get on board the hype train. America fever, which is what they should call COVID. America fever is just sweeping the globe. And we got to get, America, you've earned it, says God.
You've heard of the British invasion. Now it's time for American fever. Here's what I think happened. JD killed the old Pope, right?
Yeah.
JD Vance. I'm not saying he directly did it, but I'm saying he was there, and then 3 days later, Pope was dead. That's all I'm saying.
He may have killed the Pope in the sense that, like, a spoonful of sugar could cure your hiccups if you happen to the hiccups leave you after you eat some sugar.
I'm just saying that in some way, JD Vance is attached, rather, either causally or historically, to the Pope's death.
Right.
And then they looked through American Pope's tweets and saw him badmouthing J.D. Vance at some point.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, cool. We're going to put him in. Take that, Pope killer Vance.
Yeah.
And now he's there for payback. This is a revenge Pope.
Oh, cool.
Guys, here's my most embarrassing thing. When the new Pope got up to do his address, I had a moment where I thought, oh, man, he knows Italian.
I was so impressed.
I thought he was about to bust out, like, a fully American,
hey, what's up,
like,
you guys?
Exactly.
Hey, dudes, thanks a ton. I'm a kick ass.
When I heard American Pope, I think in my head I was picturing John Goodman.
Yeah, that this was we look through the Pope family tree, and it seems the last living Pope is John Goodman.
Everyone cares so much about the nationality of the Pope. I want to talk about Pope size. Give us a huge Pope. Give us a John Goodman-sized Pope. A big, burly Pope.
Just a wall of Pope.
A huge mound of Pope.
Big old wall of Pope.
Big old wad. Give me that.
But I'm proud that he did.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
You think he learned Italian after becoming Pope?
No, I think that he learned Italian way before that. I'm just embarrassed to think that I was really impressed by how good his Italian was. I thought, you probably don't get to that level unless you've gotten pretty good at Italian.
He would probably have a hard time getting around in Vatican City instead of asking for directions, trying to find where the bathroom is, ordering food if he didn't speak Italian.
Yeah. That's probably
I actually heard guys the night before they sent that smoke up to say it's Leo, bitch.
It spelled that out when it went up.
It spells it out like a skywriting thing. He didn't know any Italian, but then they were like, hey, we're going to pick you tomorrow. But first, you got to cram for this big Italian test. He learned it all in one night.
Morpheus showed up and put the chip in his brain.
Put the chip in his brain. And he took that test the next morning, and the principal of the Vatican came up and said, you did it. You did it, son. And then he became the Pope.
The whole thing's just so neat. I just wish we had some
anything,
neat stuff,
any kind like, of any neat cool stuff. Like ritual,
I've gone to Catholic Mass with Teresa a couple times, you know, when I was still trying to impress her parents before they found out what I did for a living. And I love all the showmanship, the pageantry. All the dogma stuff I'm not wild about, but I like the incense and stuff. That's
when
chill.
You roll up to the Mass, you should be given a little like punch card, and you tell them like which parts of it you want to like.
Because
all the stuff about like the chanting, and then you pass a cup around or whatever. It's like, whoa, this is like arcane magic. But then when you talk a long time about,
yeah, I'm not wild about that part. If I could leave before that part starts,
the cinchers, the braziers, fuck yeah, dude, here for it. Dark Souls, man, I'm here for it.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
When you can trade in all the souls you've collected for upgrades, I love that part.
And you can always tell, too, the transitions need a little bit of work, because it'll be like, oh, Miss Dion Flavin, and they have, like, the censures throwing smoke around. They're like, this weekend, I went to Denny's with my kids. Like, oh, man, can we not take a smoother step from ritual into
I think,
liturgy?
Griffin, if the priest starts talking about hanging out with his kids, there's a lot of question marks happening in the room at that point.
Yeah, I guess they're not really supposed to have those darn things.
Not extended family, so they can have a couple kids, but if they get like a lot of kids, it starts to get like,
I think the kids have to happen before the priesthood part. You can have kids grandfathered in, I think.
Well, where are we getting new priests, guys? This doesn't make any fucking sense.
They just keep finding them.
My papa was a priest. Hold on, wait.
Hold on.
That should have ended his line.
This summer, I'm going to meet Walton Goggins at a convention. I'm absolutely petrified. I'm going to shit the bed. The last convention I went to in 2023, I waited in the autograph line for hours to meet an actor I really admire. As soon as I got up to the table, I completely froze. I barely remember the conversation. We share a name. He asked how I was finding it. And all I remember saying was, it's misspelled a lot, actually. And he was kind enough to laugh. My question is this. How do I face down Walton Goggins and not completely black out like last time? Or maybe even make a good impression?
Mm.
Who's that from?
That's from In a Total Tizzy in Texas.
But I assume it's from a Travis. They talked about having the same name as an actor they admire. Must be me, right?
Yeah,
I
man.
I imagine. Yeah.
They've seen my work in CISO's My Brother and Me.
Yeah. Texarkana Waltz.
Texarkana Waltz in college, yeah.
In college.
Yeah.
They definitely caught you on the stage there.
I feel, I think it's because of the accent. Walton Goggins is like one of the very, very few celebrities that I feel like I would say hey to. Like, I feel like I would, just from the accent, I feel like it would be a rare enough thing for him to encounter. Mm-hmm. Somebody from has a little bit of a twang, if you will.
Right.
And I feel like it would really put him at ease, and I think we'd connect.
Yeah.
I will say it's hard for me to separate having first become aware of him through Justified, as I believe a lot of people did.
Sure.
That I think of him as kind of a hometown hero-esque thing, and then I have to remind myself he's a very famous, successful actor, and he doesn't, like, live in Ashland.
He's not like, from A-Hall.
Yeah. Travis, okay, yeah, you're hitting on it, Trav.
You just said so confidently that Walton Goggins has, like, maybe a bit of an Appalachian twang, but then I saw you second guess, like, does he actually have that, or am I thinking of his character in Justified?
He's from Atlanta, Georgia, I believe.
Okay. I mean, but, like, I'm saying, yes, okay, that's fair. I am projecting a little bit. I think that is accurate, but does seem pretty relaxed.
Do you think if you rolled up wearing a pair of Walton Goggins goggles that
I'm sorry,
Walton Goggins goggle glasses.
Put some respect on the name, please.
Please.
If you roll up wearing Walton Goggins goggle glasses, is that a point in your favor? Or
I'm gonna grab mine real quick.
Yeah, get it for the clip because I would love. I've been trying so hard to get the brand going. I feel like it's a brand deal that's just waiting to happen.
It's not
for my brother and me. I would love to have Walton on the Clubhouse to pitch the Walton Goggins goggle glasses. It's another free ad for Walton Goggins goggle glasses here on my brother.
I don't know if
Griffin,
they make
you just became so much more likable.
I don't know if they make them in a jumbo size for gentlemen of perhaps a larger head carriage.
You look great.
But I love the way I look. But can I swim with the, like, if I showed up to the meet and greet with Walton Goggins and was like, love them, but can I swim in them?
Can I weld in them?
Can I weld in them? You call them goggle glasses. You need to be very clear about what these things can do.
I mean, they are a little pricey for Walton Goggins goggle glasses, but if you did go to the meet and greet wearing them,
yeah,
you're right that would. I mean, that gets you through the interaction.
That gets you.
That's
you
enough
need
material.
Nothing else.
You need nothing else. Hey, I see your glasses. Point. Hey, I have the glasses. The connection's been made. I tell you the when I've done meet and greets with folks before, I tell you the only problem that I ever have is the hearing. If the thing that they're trying to communicate is too complex,
mm-hmm.
my brain is not in a place where
I can
process that. A lot
of sensory stuff going on. Yeah.
There's a lot. So keeping it tight, I love you. Acting. Fantastic.
I love you acting.
Fantastic acting.
Keep it up.
I saw Walton Goggins recently say that the secret to acting is you read it 250 times and then you give yourself over to imaginary circumstances.
Damn, that's good.
That's pretty good.
Hey, can you see everything I'm doing on my computer while I'm wearing these? Because now I'm realizing, from an OPSEC perspective, the Walton Goggins goggle glasses may not be very good for this type of telecommuting.
I can tell exactly how disengaged you are from the conversation by the flicker of your monitor tabs.
You could also find like the most obscure project that Walton Goggins has ever participated in and then specifically compliment that. That has worked for me.
The Walton Goggins goggle glasses trap.
Yes, I don't think it gets much more obscure than that. Hey, when I wear them up on my head like this, do I look like a cool like Final Fantasy character? I was going to say a cool ski guy.
Yeah. You look like Egon too. Like if they did a new Egon in a new Ghostbusters, he would look like that.
Was he a sort of conventionally agreed upon attractive character?
Yeah.
Lots of glasses. Like he found new places. Glasses everywhere on Harold Ramis. Glasses on glasses.
I would argue, Griffin, that Harold Ramis as Egon Spengler did it for a lot of people.
Who's the hottest Ghostbuster?
Venkman.
No.
What?
I think it's Egon.
I'm sorry I asked this question. I don't want to know the answer to it.
Okay. Hey, listen.
If you're talking about personality-wise, yeah, Venkman. But if we're just talking about looks.
Body.
Ernie Hudson. Ernie Hudson is the sexiest.
Fuck, that's a good point.
Ernie Hudson is the physical body.
Why did I fucking
hurt
this,
Ernie?
Man.
Right, yeah. Ernie has it. Right.
Yeah.
Now, Venkman, good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're having fun with Venkman. If you want to marry someone, you marry Ray.
There's got to be.
But
a
I'm saying Egon, I can fix him. You know what I mean? He's a little distant.
You're gonna try to fix Egon, and then he's gonna ghost you. And
I'm
I mean
just
that
saying
literally.
That profile, though, like he's cutting a look so hard. Like his face card, hundo, right?
Okay. There's four of them, so let's do. We'll do fuck, marry, kill.
No, oh, okay. I hate
you get a bonus.
I hate that game.
That's a shame because you're playing it. You are playing it right
now.
No, because
I don't want
it.
This is the thing.
I kill Ray.
It's like Brock Toon, right? We can find people sexy and want to marry them and not include killing them.
I kill Ray.
Like
that's
we don't need to kill any Ghostbusters.
I kill Ray.
That's got to be tough, huh? Conflict of interest at that point.
How do you do, hey Trev? How do you kill Trev? Describe me in detail how you kill Ray Stantz
slowly,
and describe it, and then with every other sentence, just tell me how you want to fuck Slimer or whatever.
No, Slimer wasn't. I didn't know that was available. I would kill Slimer.
Juice, you gotta get that chair fixed, man.
Griffin. I know, but when I try to fix it, my brothers think I'm ducking Pope jokes.
Right. I'm marrying Ernie Hudson. Yeah. I'm fucking Venkman.
Like right now?
Yeah. I'm fucking Venkman. I'm fucking Egon. I'm killing Ray.
This version of the game is a lot easier. You still have to kill someone.
Why can't we fuck three Ghostbusters, kill Nut, and marry one of them for life?
And I'm taking Janine on a date, a lovely date where I'm being very respectful. And we're gonna have
Janine
a great time.
And Slimer on a pizza, not date, but hang.
Yeah, I'd watch the game with Slimer. I think that would be fun as hell.
Oh, I'd smoke up with Slimer and watch the game.
Yeah, I'd smoke up with Slimer. Are you kidding me?
Because then you could just, like, get it from him. Like, he puffs it in, and then it just leaves his body.
Oh,
like,
imagine putting your head inside Slimer. Like, Slimer encases your head while he takes a huge rip.
You'd die. You would suffocate and die in the worst imaginable.
That's how I'd kill Ray.
Put Slimer on his head?
I'd put Slimer on his head.
You'd make Slimer complicit? In he the
loved it. Are you getting me that nasty dog?
And that's how I killed Ray.
That was Slimer.
I have an indoor/outdoor cat. One day when I was following him around outside, he went down the outdoor stairs of my multi-complex home and, to my alarm, headed inside the open and screenless window of my downstairs neighbor. I went to grab him, saying, "No, don't go into someone else's house," in a very high-pitched voice. And to my extreme alarm, neighbor, who I hadn't noticed, said, "No, it's okay. He's done this before." Brothers, is there a social code for "my cat occasionally visits your home"? I was so freaked out that I fear I may have flunked it. I said, "Well, as long as you don't feed him," and stood by anxiously watching my cat, unsure of what to do with myself. That's from Anxious Cat Mom in Michigan.
Your cat wants an open relationship, but can't communicate that to you because it's a cat. This isn't a matter of pride. The cat's got to get what the cat is going to get. And sometimes that means fresh tinned sardines from your cool downstairs neighbor.
That's so interesting. I didn't take it as pride.
What do you mean?
I would take the anxiety of, like, I hope they behave themselves. What if the cat does, like, the cat really makes a mess or, yeah, like, messes something up, and that reflects poorly on me?
Because that's not, but then he's not going to do it in my house. Like, sorry the cat shitted in your house that I didn't know he was going to, but that's one shit that's not going to be in my house. So thank you so much.
They're habitual creatures, though, aren't they?
They are.
What if they get so used to pissing at the neighbor's house that they can't go anywhere else? And you have to go downstairs and knock on the door like, "Hey, listen, Mr. Mittens has got a...
He's full to burst.
Full bladder. Yeah, you got to let him come in. Lay out the jacket. Lay out your favorite jacket like he likes it, please. Thank you.
This seems like a meet cute from a movie. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but it seems like something from a movie where it's like, "Oh, my cat went in your window." And it's like, "That's your cat? I've been calling it my cat."
Yeah, right? Yeah.
One shard of the multiverse, I think it's a meet cute. I think in every other shard, it's just sort of an uncomfortable social situation. I don't want them thinking it's a meet cute.
I'm not saying this is a meet cute. I'm saying that this is movie level wild to me. Like, you don't have this problem with a dog, right? Mm-hmm. My dogs, if I found out my dogs are in someone's home, they've been dognapped. Yeah, or they're loose.
For a cat, it's too powerful, I think, to give them the ability to go to someone else's house that isn't your house. Yeah. That's the great injustice of a cat's life, is that when it finds you distasteful, it cannot abandon you and go somewhere else to teach you a lesson. Now that it has had a taste of that, I don't think you're going to get them off of it. I think that they're hooked.
And this step owner now has no responsibility, right? They can give this cat ice cream, let him stay up late to watch movies.
Do the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like get him a new bike or whatever. And then when the cat is having homework trouble or like fighting with a friend at school or whatever, it's going to come back to you and you got to deal with it. Yep. You got to seal that neighbor's window.
Yeah, they're not going to
nail it shut.
Would have enjoyed any kind of information on the neighbor before the three of us dove into this one, because that could be a real minefield.
They don't seem to have any.
What?
They said they don't know them.
Right, but they probably got to know a little bit of the... Like, you can clock a vibe pretty quick, and they've encountered each other. Give us anything about the vibe, like anything to work with, because what if they're a fucking creep? I don't know.
Or a giant, like, a coyote or something.
It could be a big coyote.
I keep imagining them standing there talking to the neighbor and trying to decide if they should leave or stay, and man, it's just giving me palpitations. Yeah. Because you think, once the neighbor's like, it's okay, he's done this before, there's part of you that's like, well, I'm going to go. I get. I mean, so you please enjoy my cat. I mean, like, or if you, I guess you stay, and then they're like, well, I told you it's fine.
But it's not a play date. You don't have to stay. It's not a play date,
right? I'm not going to get to know you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is why they wrote into this advice podcast.
I know, I don't think it's doing us
a lot of favors to have our shit so completely fall apart at the premise of one of the questions.
I'm trying to be honest, Griffin. I think that, like, empathy is maybe the first step in trying to say this is hard. And maybe that's, and Griffin, maybe in 2025 we need to be comfortable with, like, sometimes that's all people need. Maybe people don't need answers. They need just to have their feelings affirmed.
They ask, did you do anything wrong? No, that's exactly what we would have done. Felt weird.
That was very hard.
But it's an advice podcast, not an affirmation podcast.
Yes, but I'm trying to be able to
fix our problems.
I'm trying to make space for the fact that movies and TV have taught us that social interaction should be smooth and effortless.
Mm. Yeah.
What I'm saying is it almost never is, you know? Yeah.
So I meet ugly, if you will.
Yeah, most meets are ugly, and that doesn't mean you should have to be good at it, but it does mean that maybe you can't be good at it. You know what I mean? Maybe you can't. Huh. Maybe you can't. Maybe most things you just can't fix, and you just gotta say, huh, that was the pits.
Yeah.
Absolutely the worst. I'm glad that was finite, because
I only hope it was as bad for them as it was for me.
No, 100% of the time, they never thought about it ever again.
No, it's fully imagined in your own
100%,
Wonder
absolutely.
Emporium up there. I thought we were going to get past all this stuff once everyone had email addresses, because then you could just be like, oh, cat's in your house? This is a weird situation. What's your email? I will hit you up digitally.
I think the reason that didn't happen is because of the @ and then the URL, because people
it's
too long, and you don't know when it's over. Like, it's feeling pretty good when you're giving someone your email address. It's feeling pretty good, and then you say the @, and then you think, man, I hope they don't judge whatever I say next.
Yeah.
Because whatever I say next, they're going to have a feeling about, you know?
And there's so many terms that we could use had they not been already sort of co-opted, where you just be like in an uncomfortable situation and say, like, this is uncomfortable. Let's just cyber. And that means, like, we're going to communicate cyber in cyberspace with typing and stuff instead of having to talk about it right now.
Yeah. What's your Pulse ID? By the way, Pulse is just the name I came up with for the software.
It's cool.
But it would be like pretty
subdermal
slick.
Cuff. Yeah. Right? Right.
The Pulse ID is a subdermal.
And as your pulse races because you're in an anxious situation, it just automatically pings the person to say, they're going to leave now.
And you're allowed to just turn mid-sentence and bounce. And is there a version of the show Black Mirror, but where everything works out good and cool?
White Mirror.
That's what it says.
White Lotus.
The opposite of Black Mirror is White Lotus. I love it. Hey, everybody. It's me, Travis McRoy, and I'm taking my brothers to the Money Zone.
Dang it, Travis. When we went to the Money Zone, I broke my ass.
Oh, what?
When we fell into the Money Zone, I broke my ass.
This is great. I don't have the ad copy ups, but my mind is racing trying to
think. There's no doctors here in the Money Zone that I know of. I've never had to find a doctor in the Money Zone, but I do have a broken ass.
The infrastructure is not there in the Money Zone.
Yeah.
Mostly need a partner to help me navigate.
We don't have a lot of electricity. What?
Is it ZocDoc?
Yeah, Griffin. ZocDoc's the one. Yeah, obviously. It's a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors. You choose the right one for your needs and click to instantly book an appointment.
Okay, I'm going to go to ZocDoc real quick and type in broken ass.
Yeah.
Stuck in Money Zone. Not mine, brothers. Oh, yeah. It came up with like 4 of them.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about in-network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, eye care to skin care, and much more.
I've found everything. My whole health network here in Washington, D.C., more or less, I found on ZocDoc. And it was the only way to do that because it's very complicated booking medical shit, especially in a big city.
So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother, ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
And Justin, while your broken ass heals, while you recover, I'm going to be here every step of the way, nursing you back to health, making you delicious meals. And Justin, I don't care.
It'll take too long, Travis. It'll take too long.
You need the food now?
No. Yeah, it'll take to make a nutritious, delicious meal takes hours and hours.
No, Justin.
I'll be dead by then.
Justin, you dumb, stupid idiot with your broken ass that you deserve now because you're so stupid. Yeah. It won't take that long.
Ah, you rebroke my ass.
Yeah,
I burned your ass so hard it got broken.
Yeah, man. That's what you get for being so stupid. Because with Factor, they have nutritious 2-minute meals. And eating well has never been this easy. Just heat it up and enjoy, Justin.
Ooh.
Yeah, so when your broken ass is all healed up, get rid of that crack. Instead of spending all your time inside cooking and prepping and all that stuff, Factor meals are ready to eat. Perfect for your active lifestyle with the man with a fully healthy ass. So it says right here, for the man with a fully healthy ass.
It says here in the copy, don't forget us once your ass is healed, Justin.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Oh. They have 45 weekly menu options, so you're guaranteed to find something that works for you. They can power your whole day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, even snacks and desserts. You got to check them out. They're delicious and nutritious and fast. And ready to go for the man with a broken or healthy ass.
Yep.
So get started at factormeals.com/brother50off and use code brother50, that's 50 off, to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code brother50off at factormeals.com/brother50off for 50% off plus free shipping.
That's a we don't usually do this, but that's a kick-ass URL.
Brother 50 off.
That's a kick-ass your brother 50 off.
And now he's the Pope.
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Ella.
What animal has the most teeth?
I would guess a shark.
A snail.
No, snails don't have teeth.
They have thousands and they are freaky looking.
No, I don't want that to be true. Okay. Did you know that the hippocampus in your brain is named after the half horse, half fish sea creature found in Greek mythology?
I didn't know that, but we're meant to be doing animal trivia and hippocampus isn't a real animal.
Well, that doesn't matter on Comfort Creatures.
You're right, it doesn't matter at all.
Comfort Creatures is a cozy show for lovers of animals of all shapes and sizes, real and unreal.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then join us every Thursday for new episodes on MaximumFun.org.
Are you a celebrity? Are you searching for meaning, connection, and a little levity these days? Hi, I'm Kumail Nanjiani, actor, writer, and yes, a celebrity too. And I've got four words for you. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Are you tired of junkets, red carpets, sick of the endless spicy snacks you have to eat? Do you want to connect with someone who gets your work and laugh with you a little? Join me, Andre 3000, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, and many more and become a guest on Bullseye with Jesse Thorne from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Recently at my local mall, a VR game was opened up that takes you on a virtual roller coaster ride. Since its opening, I've really wanted to try it, but I can't convince anyone, including my 8-year-old little sister, to do the ride with me. As an adult, there is no way I can do the ride by myself. So, how do I get in on this VR game while retaining my dignity? Note, I have never actually seen anyone using the VR machine, and it sits in the middle of the main strip of the mall. So, if I were to go ride it, I would basically be on display for any and all passersby. That's from Vexed by VR, West Virginia. Well, Vexed by VR, West Virginia.
Now, unless there's a rule that says no adults without children, you can't. When you say there's no way, you could ride it.
You can go in. Arcades are actually all right. Like, you can go in an arcade. You're totally fine.
I would argue, in fact, that by doing that, you've given someone else permission to enjoy their life. You know,
as long as before you get on the roller coaster machine, you do have to sit at the Willy Wonka coin drop machine and spend about 3 hours dropping quarters in there. And then people will be like, that's a fucking grown-ass person. Then you can go on the roller coaster.
I think where I would actually start to second-guess myself a lot is not the riding it, but the extent to which I should really lean into the experience, because I think that virtual reality is best when you are bringing your whole self to the illusion. Mm-hmm. When you're saying, I am immersed in this. This is me. This is my reality. Me and the rabbits are running through Santa's workshop, right, hurling snowballs at each other. I'm part of this.
It's like just like Walton Goggins says, you know?
Yeah. He says, I love chasing.
Just like Walton Goggins says, you put the goggles on and you immerse yourself in imaginary
and then you chase a baby Gru through Santa's workshop.
Yeah.
I'm Walton Goggins, and that's the plot of the Rabbids roller coaster ride at arcades.
And these are the Apple Vision Walton Goggins goggle vision goggle glasses. They're $6,000.
Sure. Amazing.
Worth every penny.
Worth every penny. Yeah, I mean, I would. Should you keep a straight face? I mean, that looks worse.
Well, don't
right?
go wee. Yeah, don't yell.
Well, now hold on.
Okay, so you don't go wee and don't yell, but you don't give a straight face. What do you want from me? Demonstrate proper. Yeah.
Oh my. Oh, a hill.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh. Titillating.
Griffin's putting the Walton Goggins goggle glasses back on.
Okay, Griffin's I'm thinking demonstrate.
I'm thinking you hit him with like a no way. Wow. A lot of sort of like whispering under your breath.
Maybe you reach out and try to touch something.
People love that when it's like, hey, try out the fucking virtual cyber world. It's so, so cool. There's like 5 Hatsune Mikus and a little SpongeBob SquarePants. You're going to love this shit. And then you see them reach and try and like sit down on the chair and they fall down. That shit's so funny, dude. You could be that for someone.
Open it up. I'm worried because when I picture, here's a VR machine in the middle of a mall, no one's using it. And maybe I just watched too much Are You Afraid of the Dark as a kid, but you're going to get sucked into that thing. Why is no one else using it? What do they know that you don't? It's cursed.
Yeah.
You're going to get pulled into a virtual world and have to fight your way out against maybe Bobcat Goldthwait, I'm guessing.
Somebody. I think you're right, yeah.
Something like that. You're going to be trapped in there maybe forever. You're going to leave there. You're not going to be sure if you're really out or not.
That's the fucked up part. You can never really tell when you took the headset off.
It's so realistic.
It's going to be a whole thing, man.
Yeah.
Zardo's going to show up.
There's a bit in the Rabbids roller coaster ride where Gru takes the headset off, but it's still like a cutscene in the game. Why? And you're like, okay, how many fucking layers deep do they have these guys going?
I'm going to give you one chance, and it's going to have to be elegant and tasteful for you to excise yourself from it with grace.
Okay.
But you're going to need to explain to me why you keep mentioning Gru in the context of the Rabbids. This is the second, maybe third. I need you to explain to me what happened, where we went wrong.
We're opening this up. This is a safety zone here, Griffin.
It doesn't fit. Can I say it feels extremely not safe, this zone? It feels
It's a narrow sliver of grace. It's an infinite. It's deep, but it's
narrow.
I would
need you to stand up from your computers and walk away 25 feet before I would feel like this is a safe space. The rabbits are minions with long ears. Hello, if you need me to tell you that, you're not keeping your fucking eyes open and keeping a look at these corporations, because I'm pretty sure it's the same one that does both these guys.
Okay,
it's definitely Illumination, but minions are rabbits without the ears and bunny like sort of characteristics. They are little horrible Tic Tac men, and that's basically also what a rabbit is. So that's why I kept talking about Gru, who is like the minion's dad.
Okay. Do you think that minions are Smurfs without souls?
No. Different looking shape completely. But really, the whole only thing with the rabbits is the ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, let's go to the wizard. He's got something for us here. This one was sent in by Christian. Thanks, Christian. And it is 200 plus motorcyclist names to help you stand out on the road.
Oh, motorcyclist, right? Not like I'm standing on the road yelling at them as they go by.
Hey, jerk. Yeah, they have 200 mean names to yell at passing motorcyclists.
Okay, that would make you stand out.
Yeah, for sure. I bet they wouldn't like it, though. If they can get off those bikes so dang quick, it is not a great idea to yell at them.
Some of them don't even need to stop the bike. They can just jump up. Bike keeps going. They land.
Land. They deploy the parachute. Do you need to find the perfect biker names for your tough-as-nails motorcycle persona? Am I supposed to have one of those?
Well, not without a name.
That's a good point. We'll start there. Don't choose your biker moniker randomly. Check out our list of over 200 biker names, from the uncommon to ones that are ideal for Instagram.
What?
No, that's idea.
A big
what that
thing.
Yeah. You also.
I'm not saying bikers can't be on Instagram, but I didn't know that that was like a major thought when going into that lifestyle. Is will yeah. this look good on Instagram?
No.
Well, I think that they're thinking about like, can you get the handle right?
Oh yeah.
You don't want to be like Arkansas Spike.
Yeah.
And there's already a bunch of Arkansas Spikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking up the handle.
I'm Potato Dog, but then you go and Potato Dog is definitely.
Well, then you should be the real Potato Dog, Potato Dog Real, Potato Dog Real 69420.
You'll also find help for creating a name for your motorcycle club and get answers to questions about biker names. Do you guys feel like you know enough about bike culture that you could comfortably pick a biker name right now and like really own it, get it stenciled on your hog or whatever?
Griffin, I had to pick one. With no prep and came up with Arkansas Spike, I think. So yeah. No, I
said
don't.
Potato Dog. Like we.
Yeah, I mean, I have very little fat. Neither one of those was.
I would be the Wizard of Bikes.
Wizard of Bikes is actually kick-ass. That's the best of the three, Trav.
I do think that you should have to get the moniker from the biker gang. Because I think that if you roll up to a new gang that you're not in, and you're like, hey, I'm the Texas Torch. They're like, I'm not sure that that's right.
We already got two of those, man.
Yeah.
You can't
Let's take it on Instagram.
At what level of organization are you expected to have a motorcycle persona with an original name? Because if it's like a Facebook group meetup bike event, I don't think you get a biker name for that. There has to be a certain amount of membership involved. When do you cross that threshold?
I love the idea of a delay. And can I tell you why? Because I feel like it is a biker solve to one of the biggest problems in life is when you wait too long to find out someone's name because you don't realize they're going to be important in your life until a few too long. Bikers have a fucking kick-ass one where they're like, meh. I'll catch him next time. I'll learn it next time.
Yeah, for
And then I'll learn it on, next go around, I'll learn the new one.
But
Griffin is saying, if I may, and I kind of love this, and we could all adopt this in everyday society, is that you will earn a name from the group when they have decided that that you are important enough to them that they need to remember your name, so much so they are now giving you a new one.
Yeah. And then if you ever forget that name, it's fucking stenciled on the front of their vest or whatever.
Exactly.
And you can be like, oh shit, it's been a minute. Buzzard?
With four Z's.
It's Buzzard.
Damn. I'm cheating because that's one of the first names in hardcore biker names. Use names that show you're tough. Biker names that are considered badass or hardcore are often just one word names that describe something strong or sound rugged. Let's just go through these warrior cat style. Armor, axle, barbarian, blaze, boulder, brick, buzzard, claw, conqueror,
Sagittarius.
Dynamite's cool. Dynamite could be like a tough name, but it can also be like, I'm about to dazzle you with my incredible bike skills.
You could probably just go through a list of like the top 200 X-Men name and come up with like the same kind of list. You know?
I keep coming up, like my brain gave me Dynamite. And like a pun, and then I was like, and then I had to remind myself, like, brain, I'm not sure bikers would like puns.
Hang on, they might.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't think you could call yourself Dynamite if your first name was John.
One of the names on here is Rabid, spelled like if a dog goes foamy or whatever.
Sure.
But you could throw an extra B in there and be like a rabid fan on the motorcycle. And you got too lost in the sauce on the ride at the mall, and now you have to live that life for real. Stone Cold is one. That's two words, but that's fine. Cool
names.
I don't
think you can do that. That one famously belongs to Mr. Austin.
Can you fucking believe if someone rolled up to your new awesome biker club and was like, yeah, I decided to go with Stone Cold. Here's my vest and everything. The amount of work they would have to put in for me to consider them when I think of the word Stone Cold and not the other guy would have to be... I don't know. You could do it in one lifetime.
Unless you are like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like I was just thinking if
it's
Undertaker,
a non-issue.
But if the Undertaker rolled up to your biker gang and said, I'm the Undertaker, you wouldn't be like, well, you have to earn that. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, yeah, man, you absolutely are.
I can't see any scenario in my future, Travis, where I would invite The Undertaker to my biker club. I simply do not think the man qualifies for an invite. Okay. How about some cool names?
Stone Cold Steve Austin would get mad if he joined the club and they're like, we're going to call you Danger. Yeah. Like, well, America's actually got a pretty good, like,
I've got a whole thing.
I'm going to just go with the Stone Cold thing because it's like, sorry, pretty scary and everything. Oh,
here comes Shotgun. I told you guys already.
No.
Aren't they Stone Cold? I got it on a shirt and everything. Like,
cool names. Cool. I'm going to skip the fucking explanation of what is cool. Arsenal, Berserk, Cobra, Enigma.
Now, hold on.
I like mystery. Like when I cruise past you on the bike, if it says like Mad Dog, you're going to be like, I know that guy's whole deal. But when he rolls through and he's like, Conundrum. You have especially, no fucking idea what I'm about.
If you put a question mark on the stencil and it's Enigma.
Yeah.
And
you're like,
wait, was it? Exactly.
I thought you run a danger of like your crew starting to turn into a bunch of Batman rogues gallery. They're like, this is the Perplexer.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I love
the
it.
Ice King.
Got
this
Street
is the Paralyzer. Viper. He's great. Yeah.
Got Thunderdog. That's one of the names actually provided here. I'm just going to rip through some of these names because there's a lot of filler shit in here. We got Axeman, Buzz, Cougar, Hannibal.
Cougar's a thing. Once again, if there's already like slang that is attached to that name, I don't think I'd want to be Cougar because then everyone's like, oh, hey, it's Cougar, right? Like, yeah, I don't need that.
You could be Cougar Town, and that would be cool. Yeah,
yeah,
named
that
after
rules,
the hit
yeah.
ABC.
Desperate Housewives.
I've been thinking a lot about what these names would look like emblazoned on a vest, and I don't know why my head is there. But thinking that way, I am interested in the name Kevlar, because that's one of the names provided here. And if you put that on your clothes, and another biker road rash style tries to get up on you, you can point to your vest and be like, sorry, bud.
This is among the worst ideas I've ever heard in my entire life. It doesn't even hold up to like narrative scrutiny, even for like a comedy construction.
No,
it's fucking nonsensical. The idea
nuts.
That you would goad someone in the fake out of a fake armored vest is so decrepit.
Maybe it's real, maybe it's fake. Do you want to risk it? Wait, what am I risking? Hold on, why is the risk on me at this point?
You would be getting jumped in an on-the-road surprise attack.
Okay.
This is not something you don't coordinate a badass...
It's a surprise attack where you want to encourage the opposition to shoot you in the head.
No!
You want to make it extremely clear that they want to go for a headshot.
I don't think that's what the vest is meant to do, is to encourage them to shoot other cooler parts of your body. I think it's meant to say, they see it and they're like, shit, this one's got armor.
Don't
Let's
even waste your time.
Off.
They're completely Kevlar'd out.
I would once again.
My name's also Kevlar. Fuck, guys.
Damn it.
All these guys are Kevlar. Shoot.
I think if I was in a biker gang and I met someone named Kevlar and then I found out their real name wasn't Kevin, I'd be very upset.
I'd be really, really disappointed.
But I also think that kind of impulse is maybe why I'm not in a biker gang.
Exactly.
That idea of like, well, I'll tell you what really pisses me off. Kevlar over there, his real name's not even Kevin. And they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about, Travis?
What are you talking about? There's a category of names that is not really siloed off here in this WikiHow article, but I would like to discuss sort of the potential power of that.
Okay.
One of the names on here is Warlord. I'm thinking of like, can you get a name in your motorcycle club that's like King or Ruler or Head Honcho or
Boss Man.
Boss guy.
Big
President.
Hawk.
But you're not in charge of the biker club?
They probably would hate that if you're like, hi, I'm Secretary Treasurer. I'm ready to run. They would already have one of those.
Yeah.
Do you think when you're picking, I bet that when you're picking a biker name for yourself, the amount of introspection that it takes to match up the level of badass that the name is with like what you think you can achieve.
What you can deliver on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because I don't want to put up a big check that I can't cash. You know what I mean? Because I was thinking Warlord, and then you get in there and it's like, I'm not actually, I'm kind of, I'm kind of like threat averse. I'm not really into the fight. I feel like I'd have to pick.
Yeah, you want to be reasonable.
Like, yeah, Mantis, I think would be good for
Mantis. Mantis would be cool. There's a list of women biker names on here.
Oh, good. Okay.
And they're about as rough as you can imagine. There's two on here I would like to dive into a little bit, though. One is Torque Mistress.
Nice.
That could be. Now, that's Juice, good. What was your reaction to that?
No, it's good. It, Torque Mistress. Torque Mistress
is cool.
You're going to meet the exact people you want to with a name like that. You're going to. That really narrows the demographic. Torque Mistress.
Yeah.
It will, unfortunately, it will signal to Torque's wife what's going on between the two of you.
Torque is just standing in the middle. Uh-oh, I don't know.
Oh, Torque's wife going to be so mad.
Who's Torque?
No, Torque's always like, I really hate this, but I'm not sure Torque does at this point, honestly.
If Torque hated it, he would have made his choice by now. The other one I wanted to talk about is Smooth Wheels, which is like fucking crazy because you'll die.
Those are bad. We
you
don't
need
want
them,
those.
You
bald
need them
tires.
No, don't do that.
I'm going to pick one for Griffin, and I want to nail it. Okay. I want to nail it.
You do that, and I'll give you one from the list of funny biker names they provided, which I did not even know was an option. Does each biker club have? I don't know anything about this world. I never watched a Sons of Anarchy or anything in that vein. Is there always like kind of a funny one in the club?
There's always a funny one.
They usually get killed, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess I don't know what they're doing most of the time. Like, obviously.
So normally they yell. I watch some of Sons of Anarchy and then I quit. So here's what I can tell you. Mostly they're yelling at each other. That's
Justin,
the big thing.
When you
and then they're fighting amongst each other, which is wild because they only know like 10 motorcycle guys. I wouldn't fight with them.
And their whole thing
friends.
Is that they all really like riding motorcycles.
Yeah, they can't live in a cage, which is a car.
Justin, when you stopped watching Sons of Anarchy, did the cast show up to beat you up to let you out? Is that what happened?
But then the cast of Yellowstone showed up and was like, stay
we've
back.
We got our back.
That's our boy now.
Family. Griffin, I'm going to call you Porcelain.
Porcelain's cool.
It's us, the cast of Leverage. We were pretending to be the cast of Yellowstone this entire time.
Dude. I'd love that. Are you kidding me?
I know. It'd be cool if more shows turned out to be Leverage.
I'd rock with Porcelain so hard, Trev. I think you got me in one. Because it's true. I would be so, I can't fall off a bike. That's it.
And you like the toilet.
Porcelain.
I would love to shed the toilet thing, but there's just like that's that club's beauty boy. I would love to be the beauty boy. The bike,
yeah, man.
I think they would call you Taxman.
Shit,
because it's like
it's good too.
Maybe like no one likes you, so you're kind of like a bad boy. I mean that in a biker way, like Taxman. Like,
I just
like,
thought you were being the meanest to me you've ever been in your life.
No, it's like Taxman, like, but like also
I thought you,
look you
just
like you
casually
could
dropped, and no one likes you.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean like a bad boy. Like you know, no one gets on your bad side. Like the tax man, like they're coming after you. But it's also like you look like you would be good at doing, like you would probably end up doing the taxes for the biker gang if they have taxes from like their farmer's market stand or whatever, like they are doing.
I don't know how are they getting money?
Again, like, I don't know. I sell like Heritage Butter. I don't know.
Facebook has taught me that bikers, when they're not doing biker stuff, are like accompanying children to scary places. That's what Facebook shows me all the time.
Do they get a stipend from the government to be riding bikes around? Because I think that's their job. And I don't know why.
They're influencers. They're bike influencers. Yeah. So they see people riding around. You see cool people in a big biker gang. They've got a Motorola motorcycle, one of the good ones.
Yeah.
And then
a
like,
Motorola big honker. Just.
I think they call them Motorola cycles.
Justin, I'm going to call you Bootleg.
Bootleg is good.
That's cool.
Because I bet you know how to get movies that like maybe aren't available in stores. You know
that's
a lot about
cool.
like VPN and like how to, like if I'm in America and I want to watch like British TV, how I could do that.
And then when they do like biker club movie night, which may or may not be a thing, again, I don't know fucking anything about this entire subculture. You are the one who gets to pick the tapes.
Yeah.
When everyone gets together to watch movies after every great bike. This sounds cool. I kind of want to be a part of this now.
Yeah,
I
have an e-bike.
The motorcycles part, I'd be in.
I mean, I have an e-bike. I think that's...
Could your personality in the biker gang be like bikeless Barry? Or something like the one guy in it that doesn't do the motorcycle stuff.
Yeah. Sidecar.
Cool. Yeah.
They look
Toe and Terry, the guy who has the
shoe leather. I'm gonna call myself
You're talking about Sketch over there? Yes, the weirdest thing. He hates motorcycles, scared to death of them, but he can draw them like a beautiful dream.
Have you heard his poetry?
You're talking about Sketch? Yes, the weirdest thing. He just hangs onto the back of our motorcycles and then rides a skateboard.
We love him.
Everywhere.
That's cool. He's like our pet.
I'm gonna call myself Grimace.
Okay.
Because I have it's like a grimace of pain or whatever.
That's cool.
Mostly because I have purple hair.
These are all good names, Trav. I think you have a calling here. I don't want you on a motorcycle. I don't want either of you guys on a motorcycle.
Teresa would be so mad at me.
Yeah.
But I would work as their like naming Oracle. If they would, like, I'm
Oracle. Loose. That's a cool fucking, that's
Oracle's
a cool, that's
too.
Like,
Oracle's
does,
cool.
Do biker
Trav,
clubs
you can have Oracle.
Okay.
Do biker clubs have, like, an operator who, like, hangs out at the lair and, like, tells them where to ride and stuff? Because that would be cool.
I'm in a little motorcycle chair that zooms around the office.
I think the tax man would probably handle, like, logistics.
Yeah.
I
think, Griff. Well, the
tax man's the numbers guy. He's doing the money.
If we're being honest, the three of us can only fill that role, and no, there is not a biker organization alive that wants three operators back at home base. So we're going to end up on different clubs, I'm afraid.
All right, well, you can do different shifts.
Yeah,
that's a good
true.
Point. You're not 24
I gotta
hours
sleep.
On the clock.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I would also bartend if they needed that.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that, listen to their troubles.
Well, let me get
report them to the police for
a
fee.
Do you think sidecars are a big part of biker gangs, like finding buddies for your sidecar, like maybe you could sit in the... Because I was thinking about the problem with having a sidecar is that if it's ever empty, people are going to assume that you're in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they're like, it's like, hey, what happened? It's like, nothing. It's just, I just was going out by myself right now. Like
I want to be clear. You keep using the term biker clubs and biker gangs interchangeably. The organization I'm running is just a team of bike enthusiasts who have there's no interest. Criminal element to it whatsoever. They get paid by the government to ride their bikes around the city.
Right.
And
mostly
I'm their
for
guy.
Flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if you want to join a biker club, you should have to ride in the sidecar for the first year to see if you like it. Before you get your first motorcycle, right? Because what if you get your first motorcycle, you hop on, you ride your motorcycle for 5 minutes, you're like, oh, wait,
I tried. I don't like this. I know you worked really hard to come up with a name for me.
You don't like Taxman?
It's cool. Taxman's great. It's a shame. I would love to be Taxman. I just really didn't like that.
I didn't like riding on the motorcycle. It was scary. It was loud.
It was fast.
Hey, guys, no one told me how windy it was going to be. That's fucking crazy. You guys deal with that every
What if
day?
We put a windshield on it and some, like, doors, maybe a seatbelt to protect? I'm describing a car. Fuck!
You put a helmet on my head, but I have other parts than head.
Yeah.
You know?
And my Kevlar vest, is it going to protect my... What's that? It's just the
What's
name?
That?
Fuck!
What the fuck? That's confusing.
What if someone shoots at me thinking, oh, I see.
Oh,
God.
Wait, is there much shooting in this biking enthusiast club?
The idea of the three of us joining a biker gang is the most
I've You did
ever
it again.
That we still have a TV show.
A biker gang or
a biker club of enthusiasts?
I don't see any reality where I join a biker gang, but I can see one where I buy a motorcycle when I turn 40 because I have a panic attack.
I imagine that this distinction, if you are a member of one of these clubs, is extremely important to you. So yeah. I apologize for running afoul.
I think I could join a biker gang as kind of a
Travis
mascot.
Travis
mascot slash pet kind of thing. No, I'm
they
saying gang.
Don't do those.
I'm saying
there's
gang.
A fun, I'm over here in the playground. I'm over here in the playground, and I'm having fun with the question. The question's a big, beautiful balloon, and I'm bouncing it around in the air. You guys are playing in traffic right now. I'm in the playground, where it's fun and safe.
No, I could definitely... You're not listening. I could definitely join a biker enthusiast club.
Yeah.
I'm saying the only way I'm making my way into a biker gang is as a pet slash mascot kind of character like Pee-wee Herman and Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Back in the street.
I don't think any of us are cut out for this life.
Yeah, you're right. We can't even get the terminology right.
I hope there's not many clips that come out of this episode because there's going to be constant continuity errors with my wearing of the Walton Goggins goggle glasses.
If it just gets him to notice us and say, boy, those guys sound just like
notice me, Gogginson.
Notice me, Goggins.
Put on your glasses.
Travis, no, we are not at a
this
place in our careers.
This is your new friend, Griffin, calling.
Yep, here's our Seussical parody. We're done. Kaputsky.
Hey, five people who got that, you're in.
So welcome.
Welcome to the fucking real club.
Thank you for listening to my brother and me all these years. Really appreciate it. This one too, especially this one, but all of them. We really appreciate it. Thank you. If you've never seen us in live and in person, you should.
It's even better.
Oh, yeah, we're coming to Michigan and Minnesota next week, and we got new dates in California, Texas, Georgia, and Utah. All those Taz shows are going to be Taz versus, except for the Anaheim Taz show, which will be Dadlands with Brendan Lee Mulligan. All tickets are on sale now. More info and ticket links are available at bit.ly/McElroy tours.
I'm also so excited. This week is Champions Grove. I'm excited to see everybody there. It's going to be a blast.
Hope you're having fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hey, we got some merch over at the McElroy merch store. Guys, I brewed my first cup of the flaming, not poisoning, raging tea of doom last night. That we collabed with Good Store. It's a wonderful loose leaf tea. And guys, I'm not just saying this because it's sort of our thing, but it's a good fucking brew. Oh man, sick, it treated me just right. Wonderful notes of clove, spicy finish, which I really do enjoy.
Spicy finish flavorful, is also a good bicarbonate.
Flavorful, but not cloying, which is a really difficult balance to stick the landing on. Herbal, no caffeine for a nighttime come down. It's a beautiful
nighttime come down
brew.
Is another good biker name.
It's a beautiful brew. And you can find it over at McElroyMerch.com. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Center for Reproductive Rights. Thank you so much, Montaigne. You're the best. The music is so good. Keep that new shit coming. We're eating good over here.
I've got a fear here I'd like to read. Faster than fear. This year, I'm moving faster than my fear of my partner's worm farm. The worms aren't strong enough to open it and get me.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.